V-76. Ikulu, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Some 50 miles southwest of the Sunrise Palace Resort, where the Zanzibar Triangle had been discovered, a starlit scene few could have ever imagined greeted the media personnel lucky enough to have been invited. Four men stood behind a wide podium at Ikulu, the state house and official residence of Tanzania's president. He was there, proud as could be, as was the Triangle's discoverer, Hassan Manula, who looked distinctly like he would rather be anywhere else in the world. Two men more familiar to an international audience stood in the center. The first was Ding Xiong, just off the plane, having made a beeline for Tanzania when news of the incredible find first broke. Ding's initial reaction had been one of skepticism, and this lay behind the public silence he had maintained so far. As the inaugural president of the Earth Liaison Forum, as well as the world's most populous superpower's head of state, Ding had a strong claim for the position of most powerful man in the world. And given what he had been told about the Zanzibar Triangle after a full day of careful analysis, he had a strong feeling that the discovery of the object, now at a secure location further inland, would cement his position and perhaps even remove any doubt. Ding's presence was a welcome surprise to the attendant press, but it had never felt out of the question. What caught everyone off guard was the identity of the man standing at Ding's right-hand side, John Cole, the former British Prime Minister who had been forced to resign in disgrace after deciding to unilaterally reveal to the public that Earth was in the path of an extinction-level comet. Now, Cole's brand was utterly toxic in the United Kingdom, long abandoned and disowned by even his closest former allies. A greater cause of anger than the irresponsible comet revelation itself had been its deceitful nature, a transparent accident, as well as the fact that it was evidently driven by self-interest and a grudge against then-GSC chairman William Godfrey. In the intervening time, Cole had been working as a spuriously defined development consultant, primarily in African and Asian states, where his notoriety as the recent leader of such a powerful Western country counted for enough to cancel out the utter contempt in which he was now held at home. Many eyes stayed on Cole while the others addressed the media, beginning with the Tanzanian president, who spoke of his pride that the messengers had chosen to bless his nation with the triangle. Unaccustomed to the global spotlight, but tremendously glad to be in it, he also personally thanked Hassan Manula for putting his country before himself in alerting the authorities as soon as he discovered it. Hassan, feeling tremendously out of place and visibly sweating buckets, rushed through the speech that had been written for him. He said that he felt blessed on an even deeper level since he had been the one lucky enough to first set eyes on the incredible object, and really did as well as anyone could have expected in delivering the pre-written words in a plausibly natural manner. Speaking Chinese, despite his well-known mastery of English, Ding Xiong wasted no time in stressing the importance of the Zanzibar discovery. He described the triangle as the most beautiful thing he had ever seen and the most incredible gift in human history. Much as the two earlier speakers had expressed their gratitude that the triangle showed up in their country, Ding took great delight in expressing his own joy that it had arrived within the borders of a staunch ELF member, like Tanzania. Details of what his expert analysts had determined while studying the object would be released in due course, he promised, and until then he begged for patience from the citizens of GCC nations who might understandably feel left out of an incredible moment in humanity's history. In two short sentences, Ding Xiong then greatly turned up the heat on Chairman Godfrey by encouraging such disenfranchised citizens to make their feelings known to their national leaders in any way they deemed appropriate, and by encouraging those national leaders to switch allegiance to the ELF now, while the offer stood. "Because as we can see from where they put the triangle," Ding concluded, surprising everyone with an impromptu and highly symbolic switch to fluent but heavily accented English, "the messengers have just made their allegiance perfectly clear." John Cole, pushing out his burly chest to a near comical extent, cleared his throat and leaned forward slightly into the microphone in front of him.
"I'd like to echo President Ding's words," Cole said, using a title no one else ever had.
The Englishman spoke in his northern accent of old, jettisoning the more proper speech patterns that had been coached into him by his former confidant and partner in crime, Jack Neal.
It says a lot about the president that he's been kind enough and forgiving enough to extend the hand of friendship to those who have so far been bullied or bribed into participating in Godfrey and Slater's Argentine charade, and I dearly hope the offer is seized by many while it stands.
Just as when Cole had once stood at Godfrey's side during the political free-for-all that followed the IDA leak, making controversial points his boss wanted to get across without actually saying himself, it didn't take a political genius to know that Cole was once again being used in this way. His new master, Ding Ziyang, now stood quietly while Cole delivered controversial soundbites whose origin allowed a degree of plausible deniability, if necessary, that he had overstepped the mark of his own accord, rather than as per any orders from above.
I stand here before you delighted to announce the president's intention to initiate a rapid proliferation of ELF satellite offices in strategic locations, Cole went on, booming out the words as though addressing a packed arena with no microphone, the first of which will open on the beautiful island of Cuba in a matter of days. I myself am greatly honored to have been chosen as the ELF's new Western Secretary, and I look forward to taking up my residence in Havana. I've been here in the ELF's African heartland handling some unrelated business for over a week, and the fact that the messengers placed their latest message of peace in this particular chunk of the ELF's vast territory makes the timing very good from my personal standpoint. I've already seen the desperate conspiracy theories and claims of hoax, but really, this is one story that not even Richard Walker could have made up. I'll be here for the rest of today and tomorrow, keeping a close eye on what else our brain box scientists can find out about the triangle, but none of that is going to stop me from appearing via satellite on tonight's live episode of Focus 2020. And needless to say, I very much look forward to sharing my views on these exciting recent developments with Marion de Klerk and my fellow panelists. Until then, friends.
At the end of his speech, Cole extended a hand, which Ding took very gladly, posing for the press and sending a message to the world, one city in particular, that no one had seen coming.